Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the dilapidated mansion that is Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast once again. And if you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here at Jolly Rogers Studio each and every week where we go around the table to tell you what we thought of it. We also have a weekly top three list inspired by the film in question, Savage. You know this.
I do.
So nothing changes, and here we are once more.
Well, the movie changes.
Well, the question is, as it always is, what is the film? But we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
So welcome aboard, everybody. Glad to have you here. Introductions. First of all, as always, I'm Michael, your host. And let's go to the right this time.
Ooh.
Check it out.
Which way?
Classic rewind. Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. My back hurts a little bit.
I'm not rubbing it.
I have to wear glasses now to read. I can barely see you. I'm squinting from the morning sun.
Yeah, I'm not going to put a heat pad on that. I'm not going to rub Ben Gay on
it. I'm not asking you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to get to something.
No.
Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hey, how you doing, folks?
Who's that?
I think he's trying to set a tone.
Yeah,
he's trying
to set
a particular tone.
Right. See?
Yeah. Gee, say, yeah. Talk like Artie. Hi, everybody. Golly gee. Okay. Moving along. The producer, greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast, sitting back there in his producing cube. Nice to see you. James, hard sub savage. So hard, so sub, so savage.
What's up, Maestro?
What's up? You ask me this quite often.
Well, I usually ask you how your week went.
And every week it's a great week.
I'm
always positive with this. I can think about things that didn't happen to me that make it a great great week. And this is no exception.
Good. Let's hear it.
Well, you know, this week my monkey didn't die.
Oh. That's good.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't even hate
it when my
monkey
dies.
And I spanked it and beat it as hard as I could. It would not die.
It wouldn't die.
No, my monkey did not die.
All right.
Didn't have to call in the monkey undertaker.
Right.
You know
the
one
monkey
of those?
Coffin? Yeah.
You ever buried a monkey, producer?
No, I have not. Buried a parrot.
You ever buried someone that kind of looked like a monkey? Never mind.
Yes.
Did you know that the Repo Man, at no time, Savage, at no time did the Repo Man chase me down, trying to take my car from me?
That would be bad. That mean you lost your job.
Yeah, it would mean I lost my job.
Right. You turned in your car, right?
Yeah, three of them.
Right.
At no time, Max Gumbo Johnson, did you know at no time did I wake up with a dead man floating in my pool?
That's good. Because you're not going to get that out with one of those leaf things.
No,
you're not.
You got to raise the chlorine level.
Yeah, the last time something was floating in my pool, it wasn't a dead guy. Let me tell you that.
Oh.
We've all seen Caddyshack.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so there you go. I think we've given you some clues.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
It's kind of a new trend here on the show, too. We've been doing that, giving you clues to the movie.
How new it is.
And let's get on with it. We're doing something a little different here. We have been for the last... Well, just last week.
A whole week.
I forgot about that. I started it.
Right.
I started it.
Right.
We're doing Perfect Tens. Yeah. We're going into Netflix.
Yes.
We're pulling out films that we think and we deem are a 10 to us.
Right.
And we're dragging them in here to see how many people agree. And this is Max Gumbo Johnson's selection this week. And I want you to lay it on me, brother. What is it? What are we getting into this week? And what is the top three inspired by this?
It's our second Billy Wilder movie. Maybe y'all will... like this one.
Perhaps.
Sunset Boulevard.
Ooh. You ever been on Sunset Boulevard?
Nah, I've never even been to California.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I used to live out there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You've been everywhere.
Yeah. You lived on Sunset Boulevard.
I lived in LA.
Right in a dumpster right behind the Fat Burger.
Yeah, that's right. Right behind Winky Dinky Dog, I'm sure.
Right.
You're talking about Sunset Boulevard, 1950, William Holden, directed by Billy Wilder, starring Gloria Swanson.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, I don't know who else.
Cecil B. DeMille. And,
yeah.
The guy from Dragnet. What's his name?
William Holden?
No, not William Holden. He's not from Dragnet. Jack Webb.
Jack Webb. There you go. Yeah,
and many others.
Yeah, you know, you call it a 10. A lot of people would call this a 10.
I call it a 10.
A classic film from 1950.
Yeah, a lot of people call it classic.
A lot of people wore brill cream in that time.
Yes.
A lot of people kind of talk like this, see? I've always wanted to end my sentence with the word see.
Well, do
I
it.
I like that. Okay.
Move to Mexico.
Oh. I like that. Yes, there you go. 1950 Sunset Boulevard inspires a top three, Max. I want you to jump in here, and I want you to tell me what it is. What is it?
Top three butlers in movies.
Top three butlers in movies.
That butle.
That's kind of an obscure kind of list. I like that.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's probably more butlers in movies than you think once you really dig into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into this. Written and directed by Billy Wilder. You said it before, Double Indemnity.
Mm-hmm.
Some Like It Hot, The 7-Year Itch, and this.
Yeah, I made a couple good movies.
Yeah, I like Some Like It Hot. The 7-Year Itch, I think I've seen that too.
Yeah.
Double Indemnity, I'll part ways with you.
You're crazy.
Just a bit. Just a bit. Not, I think not as much as some of the others. So
okay.
If you've seen this movie, you may enjoy this. Keep listening. See if you agree or disagree with our take on it. See how close to Max's 10 you are.
Right.
Or how far away you are. Right. Either way. Or if you haven't seen it, keep listening. See if it's something you might want to watch yourself.
Sure.
All right. Let's go, guys. Here we go. We're talking about Sunset Boulevard 1950. And let's talk about what the critics thought of this film. I'm talking about critiquing the critics.
Okay.
Max, Gumbo Johnson, let's go over to IMDb. All right.
IMDb.
What do you think
users,
the kind folks over at IMDb gave this film? Something point something.
8.6.
Oh, so close. Why did you just nail it? You're so close. You might
8.7.
Just, you meant 8.5.
Oh, damn. Went the wrong way.
Very close, though.
Oh, it's pretty close.
Close as you can get. Let's go over to Savage here. Rotten Tomatoes. This is percentage-wise,
okay.
Savage.
All right.
Critics, what you got?
Oh, critics probably going to love it. Critics probably going to be 93.
98%.
Look at that.
Oh, bing. What about
one
users?
Guy.
Yeah. Same guy with <It's probably laughs> same with that other guy.
It's probably right? William Holden. No. What about users?
Users, they seem to be more educated than IMD or than the other one. So let's go 94.
95. Man, you guys are really close to that.
Damn.
Let's talk about what this movie is. In Hollywood of the 1950s, the obscure screenplay writer Joe Gillis is not able to sell his work to the studios. He's full of debt and is thinking in returning to his hometown to work in an office. Who the hell would want to do that?
$35 a week.
While trying to escape from his creditors, he has a flat tire and parks his car in front of a crumbling, decadent mansion on Sunset Boulevard, owned by the former silent movie star Norma Desmond, who lives alone with her butler, Max.
Awesome.
Awesome name.
Mm-hmm.
And there's your tie-in. Norma is demented and believes she will return to the cinema industry and escape the isolated world she has built for herself. Norma proposes Joe to move into the mansion and help her in writing a screenplay that will propel her inevitable comeback. But as things settle in, the small-time writer finds himself the eye of her affection. And when he falls in love for a young, aspiring writer, Betty Schaefer, Norma becomes jealous and completely insane, which leads to her madness as well as a very tragic ending. So let's stop right here. Listen to a trailer. 1950 Sunset Boulevard. We're going to come back, get into it, and tell you what we thought of this one right here.
Hedda Hopper speaking. I'm talking from the bedroom of Norma Desmond. Don't bother with a rewrite, man. Take this direct. Ready? As day breaks over the murder house.
Yes, you'll read the big black headlines about Norma Desmond and this Hollywood scandal. But you'll never read the true story about the rest of us who were part of it. Me, for instance. Joe Gillis, a promising young writer from Dayton, Ohio. And Betty, that nice kid I met at a Hollywood party, who knew nothing about me, but knew what she wanted. Don't you love Artie?
Of course I love him. I always will. I'm just not in love with him anymore.
What happened?
You did?
Well, we should have lived happily ever after, like they do in the movies. But this was different. Because this is a Hollywood story about the people who make the movies. The little ones that you never hear of, like Betty and me. The great ones, like Cecil B. DeMille. All those who knew Norma Desmond, a strange woman who left her mark on all of us, who crossed her path.
Gloria Swanson, one of the great personalities of this generation in a role that comes to an actress once in a lifetime. Rising to the heights, William Holden creates a startling portrayal. And a new star is born in Sunset Boulevard, Miss Nancy Olsen.
Joe? Where are you? What's this all about?
Why don't you come out and see for yourself? The address is 10,086 Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, come out to see for yourself the film that reaches a new milestone of dramatic daring. The film that every critic says is a giant among motion pictures.
Q Filmcast, talking about the film you just heard from right there, 1950's Sunset Boulevard, written and directed by...
Billy Wilder.
He's so wild. Billy Wilder.
So Billy.
Let's talk a little bit about some facts and figures and trivia. You know, I found some stuff on the interwebs.
A lot of interesting stuff about this movie.
Actually, I wrote down a buttload of stuff.
Yeah. Like Gene Wilder's dad.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, stop
We've
it.
We've had this conversation
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we did. Not. I remember having this conversation. I thought, okay, wait, check. No, 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 he's lying. I had to access whether or not we talked about that and it was true. Shut up. Yeah, let's talk about what I found out here. Did you know Max Gumbo Johnson, upon seeing the film at a star-studded preview screening at Paramount, MGM studio head Louis Mayer screamed at director Billy Wilder that he should be tarred, feathered, and horsewhipped for bringing his profession into such disrepute?
Wow.
Wilder's response was, hey, F you.
Yeah, I read that.
All right. I like that dude.
I like him already. Did you know that the Desmond Mansion was located not on Sunset Boulevard? What a jip.
Yeah, right.
Liars.
But on Wilshire.
It's close.
Well, I don't know. It was built in 1924 by William Jenkins at a cost of $250,000. Did you know that the pool in this film is the same pool in Rebel Without a Cause?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Did you know they built the pool just for the movie?
Rebel really? Without a Cause?
No, for this one. This one.
For Sunset Boulevard.
They said, we'll rent you the house to make the movie. The rental is such and such, and you got to put in a pool.
Yeah.
Said,
okay. That's fantastic.
Let's do it.
Interesting. Wow, that's off the page here, Max. I didn't find that one.
Crazy.
Wow, you must have read a book on this movie or something. Did you know that Heda Hopper and Buster Keaton?
Heda Hopper.
Oh.
Jeez.
Heda Hooper.
Hoopa.
Heda Hopper. I'm just reading the page here. Sometimes it doesn't translate to my brain. Heda Hopper and Buster Keaton, who make cameos as themselves in the movie, both died on the same day, February 1st, 1966.
Crazy.
Wow.
That's strange, man.
That is strange.
Did you know, I just got a few more here, did you know that when crew members asked Wilder how he was going to shoot the burial of Norma's monkey, one of the film's most bizarre scenes, he just said, you know, usual monkey funeral business sequence.
It was a proper
like a cool
burial.
Dude.
You would know about that, wouldn't you?
It was a proper burial.
It was. Did you know that despite the fact that Eric Von Stroheim, who plays the butler and chauffeur, Max, he could not drive in real life? During the scenes in which he drove, the car was towed by another?
Wow.
Is it that hard to find a guy
who can drive?
Who can drive?
Could you find somebody better?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Well,
and there was a tie-in with that guy in the, being in the movie.
Yeah, I know there was. Oh, of course there was.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we'll get into
when they were sitting there watching the movie in her living room.
Yeah,
that was a movie that Gloria Swanson made during the silent days, and that's the guy that directed it.
Right,
the guy that played the butler.
Actually, the actual guy. Okay, yeah. keeping it real, keeping it in the family.
It's meta.
I love it. It's meta. None of that. That's like the word of the day, meta.
Yeah, before it was cool.
Did you know that Cecil B. DeMille agreed to do a cameo for a $10,000 fee and a brand new Cadillac? When Wilder went back to him, DeMille charged him another $10,000.
Wow.
I thought it was 25.
Well, no. Here's what it is. No, he went back for another scene and he made pay him another $10,000. What a bastard.
That's his reputation, though.
Yeah. One last one, guys. Billy Wilder was frustrated with people assuming that the ending was meant to be ambiguous and asking him what happens to Norma after the final dissolve. He says, I have no idea. All I know is that she's Meshuga?
Meshuga?
Meshuga. That's all. That's the end. Anyways, there you go. Max Gumbo Johnson, you gave this a 10. You say, hey, jump on board with me.
10 what?
Oh, yeah, because we don't use facts and figures.
Figures. Why not, Max?
Thumbs up. We don't do
that's
that.
Just too dramatic.
Far too dramatic. I almost forgot. Thanks for pulling that one back out of the hat there, Max. What are we going with today? What are we going to use?
Close-ups.
1 to 10 close-ups.
All right.
I love it.
Because she was ready for hers.
She really was. And, yeah, that's perfectly placed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready for your close-up, and I'm ready for your review. I'm ready for you to tell me why you gave this a 10. Go.
I give this 10 close-ups.
10 close-ups.
Because it's a great movie. I remember after we did All About Eve, and we did our top three movie divas,
yeah.
And I kept seeing Norma Desmond pop up on all the lists. I'm like, I can't believe I've never seen this movie. So a couple months ago, not long after we did All About Eve, it was playing at the Bell Court. I don't know why. Oh, it was part of the Billy Wilder thing they had at the Bell Court. Because I also went to see Double Indemnity. So I said, well, to hell, I want to watch it. I might as well go see it at the Bell Court.
Yeah. Which would be a great place to see this film, I think.
Yeah, right?
That's a great place to see
it. Proscenium stage.
Right.
Yeah. But it was awesome. I was like, this is fantastic.
Were you
this
alone in the theater?
Oh, no. There was plenty of people there.
Yeah. You should have wore a top hat and a cane.
Tails. I wasn't. I'm not into all that. Okay. Tails? Come on.
Whatever.
Anyway, it blew me away. I thought it was fantastic. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen for the whole hour and 50 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was just perfect.
I can't wait to get into scenes with you. I want to know what scenes really pushed that forward for you. Because I remember you coming back and telling us, man, I love this film. One of the best films I've seen all year. You guys got to see this movie. And then Destiny comes and slaps us in the head and puts it on Netflix.
Yep. Yeah, right. There it is.
So there you go. I cannot wait to get into scenes with you. Let's go over to the producer. Let's knock this one out of the park. He's kind of peering from behind the screen. I never know.
With a little Hitler mustache.
In right. The way the screen cuts off his face, it looks like he has a Hitler mustache.
That was Chaplin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Which makes a bit of an appearance here.
Yeah,
he
does.
In this film. But producer, how close to max can you go on a 10 here? 10 close-ups.
10 minus 2.
He's going to go 8. That's 8.
That's pretty good for Adam.
Yeah. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. I was surprised by this movie.
Okay. 8. He's going 8.
Yeah. Right.
You want to leave it there? You want to tell us why? Or you want to wait?
I'll tell you later.
Tell us later. Okay.
Tell you later.
Smell you later.
That's 18 close-ups.
Right.
It's
not enough for Norma Desmond.
Is it enough for you, Savage? How close to 10 are you going on 1950s Sunset Boulevard?
It's a strange thing. It's I like to go into these things blind, but this one I kind of researched just a tad before I watched it. And if you do that and you know plot points,
not a good idea.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Well, you get something explained to you that otherwise it may alter your opinion. But I was more impressed with this than Double Indemnity. And I'll stick with Adam. I think it's a solid movie. I'll go with an 8 as well.
Good. Okay. So now we're getting up there a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
Let's see what I do with this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, we know what you like to do. You like to get your stuff out there.
Well, this way I just keep on cue. You like that? Here we go. Check this out. Right. Here's what I wrote in this one. Sunset Boulevard finally watched another old classic that for too long has evaded me, Max. Mm. Yeah. This one here, I'm going to say, is often referred to as groundbreaking, classic, timeless, and quite often a 10. I'm going to tell you, if you think this is a 10, then you're right. If you think differently, you're probably right. You can't argue with how someone felt about something. It's not possible. There's no factual anything to it. It's just simply emotional. I'll tell you this. I get the respect for this film. There's shots in this thing that are genuinely superb. I love the opening frame of this thing when the word Sunset Boulevard is on the curb, and it looks like it just picks up and moves down the street, begging you to follow it.
Yeah.
There's some great camera work in this film. Automatically, I was kind of captured by it. So there's no argument about being a well-crafted film. For me, there's also a thing called the gag reflex. And I think I've mentioned before that I have a 1950s, gee, officer, I was I speeding?
Yeah,
you know,
right,
gag
right.
reflex, the upchuck button.
Right.
And I can only take so much of it. So perhaps I'm not the guy you want to talk to me about this film. Everything about the style of these films generally keep me from engaging them. I will not apologize for that, especially when they try to take themselves seriously, unlike, let's say, All About Eve, which won Best Picture this year for 1950. Okay. Where it's delightful like that and just playful. This film just flat out wore me down. I did everything to warm up to it, but unfortunately by the time it was over, I had nothing but relief. I just couldn't take it anymore. I was recently talking to someone who feels the same way. He said, thank God for Marlon Brando. It wasn't until A Streetcar Named Desire that people started to have different ideas about dialogue in movies. It was like Brando came along, slapped us in the face, and said, knock it off. Enough of the phoniness. This is film, not a stage. As much as I can respect this movie, and I do, I just didn't like it. I didn't like watching it. It's so slathered in things that taste bad to me that I almost had to brush my teeth afterwards just to get just to get past it. The thing that turns me off most of these films from this time is that you're clearly watching actors and not people. I hate that.
Yeah,
its phoniness overwhelms me, and at the two-hour mark, I'm toast. When you're asked to sit through a movie where the lines, gee, officer, was I speeding, and gee, officer, I believe I was raped today, are delivered with the same exact emotional hinge, they won't pull me in. Once again, thank God for Brando in the 70s, when we finally got rid of the need to dress up old stage actors in their archaic tones and pass them off on screen. That time is long gone, and let me just say, good riddance. If this is your thing, that's great. There's also a reason why these awful tones and dialogues in film are no longer here, because they're dead. I don't think anybody's right or wrong. It's simply a matter of taste. If you love this, you're going to tell me why, and you're probably right. You're probably absolutely right. About Gloria Swanson's stupid face and stupid acting had me clutching the barf bag. This was one of the most dreadful performances of acting ever. I could not take it.
Wow. Are you kidding?
My hands shook to turn that thing off. I couldn't look at it. Bette Davis, she is not. Once more, I'm sure this film deserves the accolade. If you love it, you're probably right. Don't let me get in the way of it, and I won't. I'll be somewhere else watching a film that has soul that I can appreciate. I'm going to give this, I'm going to be real kind and give it a 6.
Oh, well, at least it didn't go.
Because I'm sure it is very well crafted for its time.
All
that's
that
it. I'm done.
It's still a 6, right?
Yeah. I didn't like this. I didn't enjoy watching what is probably a good film.
Well,
it's all, you know, ridiculous.
It's all subjective.
It's, like I told you, it's just subjective. Right. You know what we need to do? Let's take a listen to this perfect 10, this great dialogue, this awful dialogue.
This great dialogue. This is awesome.
But we'll be back in just 1 second.
That didn't happen in this movie. I will argue. This is going to be like a 4-hour episode.
Yeah. We're going to listen to Artie. Hey. Stick him up, Gillis. Bang, bang. Here we are. We're coming back in just a minute. Going to talk a bit about Sunset Boulevard. Here you go.
How much will it be? I warn you, don't give me a fancy price just because I'm rich.
Lady, you got the wrong man. I had some trouble with my car, flat tire. I pulled into your garage until I could get a spare. I thought this was an empty house.
It is not. Get out.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you lost your friend. And I don't think red is the right color. Wait a minute. Haven't I seen you before? I know your face.
Get out, or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
Back again, Q Filmcast, talking about Sunset Boulevard, 1950.
Yeah.
God, Max, though, I did love a lot of the camera work in here.
Hey,
I'll tell you
up.
What. All right, I won't say anything nice about the film then. I'm trying to float something up here. I loved the opening shot. I tell you what, that did kind of like, all right, man, let's go. Really good craft work on that. I mean, I felt like it pulled me, and then it falls into mediocrity. Pretty quick to me. But let's talk about scenes, Max. Talk to me about your favorite scenes in this film. What makes it really
favorite,
pop for you?
I can't pick a favorite scene in this movie. First, the first meeting between Desmond and Gillis. When he goes in there and she thinks he's there to pick up the monkey.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, you're a writer? You know, come look at this script. I love that whole sequence. I thought that was... She's sitting there smoking a cigarette and staring at him. Mm. And she's so overly dramatic. She's just waiting for a comeback because she says, you know, we didn't need words. We had faces.
What's up with that cigarette holder anyway?
I don't know. That was crazy. But she was crazy.
Awesome.
So it was awesome. But yeah, I mean, you're saying the whole style of the dialogue. Well, first off, with her character, she was doing that on purpose. Yeah. First off, she was crazy. Second off, she was doing it to overemphasize everything. She was acting like she was still in silent movies where you had to overact just a little bit to get the emotion across. That's what she was doing.
Yeah, but there's
been
a lot of crazy people, crazy females, and broken people in movies. But this is a product of its time. I don't like the time.
But that's the product of the character.
Yeah.
That's her character. That's what she does.
I understand that. But it still didn't keep me from barfing.
Well, I guess you just didn't get it. I don't know.
No, I got it. I just don't like it.
Well,
I mean, did you get how I could wear size 10 shoes? Let's say if I wear size 10 shoes and wear 13. It's not that when I get into your size 10 shoes, I don't get it. My feet don't work in those. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing personal.
I didn't say anything. I just I don't see how you can judge that and say it's a terrible acting job. It was great. She did exactly what she needed to do.
That's all she could do. This is what the people did back then.
That's not what they did back then.
They took these stage actors and said, okay, let's throw them up on the screen. Well, I don't want to see stage actors tossed up on the screen.
That's not what they did.
You give me the 1970s when it got real, when it got gritty. You give me Streetcar Named Desire. You give me real, deep, meaningful movies on film. I don't want to see this stuff. I don't like it. Every once in a while, I find it playful, but and this thing's 2 hours long. It felt 4 hours.
So did you think William Holden overacted?
I thought he was just very William Holden-y.
Okay, and what's wrong with that? That's one of the best things in the world, William Holden.
You say he's a great actor. You take him out. You take him out of that time, and you put him in a movie that requires something other than that. I bet you he can't do it.
See, Network. He was pretty good in that.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Sure.
Yeah, he was awesome in that.
Yeah, okay, but I'll give you that. But I'll say also
what's that other classic he was in? Oh, The Wild Bunch. Yeah, he was pretty good in that.
You know what though?
What's that other top 10 movie of mine that he was
here
in?
Here he goes.
Bridge on the River Kwai. Yeah, right. The guy kills it, man.
Yeah, but here's also Bridge on the River Kwai. It's still William Holden-y. The foundation is just that. It's like cemented into where
would you tell Harrison Ford to not be Harrison Fordish?
Yeah. He is Harrison Ford-y.
Bruce Willis. Every actor has sort of that thing. That's out of that.
We'll go on and on for that. I'll tell you what, though, beyond that, the story wasn't any good here. It just wasn't good. It just You know, I like the part you like, where they get together and you find, okay, here's the premise, yeah. and then it just stalls. First of all, none of this made sense. This guy is an independent, free-thinking writer. There's no way any of this fit with him.
And he's broke.
And I'm thinking, why couldn't he have a mom complex or something that made this somehow make sense, somehow more depth to the characters and to the story? Because it just became boring and mediocre beyond the craft.
It's all about the Benjamins.
The story is boring. It just sat there and it sat and sat and sat. And the dialogue, unlike All About Eve, which I'm glad won Best Picture this year, I don't remember the dialogue in this like I do that film.
No,
but that's me.
This movie's a tragedy, and I think Billy Wilder is trying to do something subversive with the very thing that you're saying. It's that you're saying, don't throw just an actor up on the screen. Even for this time, he's showing that with an actor from a previous time, that this is what we're still dealing with. And that trying to get her come back, which is that over-emotive kind of thing, that just actor on a stage on film, is I think, his jab at the Hollywood system.
Oh, I understand completely what's at play here.
Yeah.
It's just I just didn't like the way it tasted.
This is just as good as All About Eve. It's basically this sort of the same story, except it's not told from, I guess, from Eve's standpoint. It's told from Bette Davis's standpoint. This is the Bette Davis character, and we're seeing what she's going through instead of Eve manipulating everybody.
See, Max,
those two should have had a cat fight.
They're very comparable movies.
You know what this was? This was the Armageddon and Deep Impact of its day.
Is it crazy?
Do you not?
All About Eve. Yeah, I got you.
Thank you.
Got you.
Yeah, because like two very similar films coming out in the same year is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, it could be that, but there's some deeper things in this film, man. I mean, there really are some deeper things. And just some just bizarreness. I mean, you didn't find the whole monkey thing just weird?
It was weird.
And
great.
The whole fact that the butler was her first husband.
Yeah. And so, that's one of the things that if you know that going in, it changes your whole perception.
Oh, yeah,
it'll
completely kill the movie.
Yeah.
And it won't kill it, but it ruins a big surprise.
Yeah, it really
well,
does.
You know, the movie ruins it because in the beginning, you know, he's dead in the pool. And at the end, you're just like, okay, I know what's going to happen. I know who dies. Yeah. And I was real disappointed by that. I was so like, why did they just show me like someone in the pool as a shadow? I don't know who it is.
Yeah,
that really, really ruined it for
me. They didn't show you his face in the pool at the beginning.
I knew in the beginning. Also, well, this poor sucker, he just always wanted a pool. I knew it was going to be him. But so much of this fell flat, and then it just went. You know what fell flat for me was when that party scene started, when he runs from her house. And he goes to meet his friend Artie, who I just wanted to punch the TV. I hated that guy.
You do not punch Jack Webb.
Oh,
we take
God,
you
that
out.
Was terrible. Just terrible. And then it just meandered and slogged the whole way. And I'm like, when is this guy going to be the big reveal? He's dead and get over with it. I couldn't take her either. I really had a hard time with her. But the more I think about it, everybody annoyed me. Did you find Jack Webb annoying in this? How could you not just sit there and find this guy completely almost unwatchable?
Nobody annoyed me in this movie.
No, I mean, if
the two girls laughing constantly annoyed me in the movie.
Yeah, they did too. I kind of like that though.
Well, the thing with the Swanson character is that, and this is something that I kind of spoiled for myself by researching it, is that she is over-emoting to the silent star in that she believes that she is and that she was, and the character that she is. She skirts farce. Right on the razor's edge, man. I mean, if you can laugh at it, it's almost farcical to the limit that she pushes that emotive nature. But if you understand it as a tragedy, it backs off that farce. I mean, and if I didn't know that, watching it, I probably wouldn't have liked it as much because I kind of understood her motivation for that.
Well, I understand the tragedy that is her life on the screen that I'm watching. This is a tragic situation.
Yeah.
But the delivery was farce to me. I kept thinking you could almost replay this scene for scene and put in Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig. It would be the funniest comedy I've ever seen in my life.
Nah.
It would just be
hysterical. That's not a bad idea.
No, it's not a bad idea.
That's a terrible idea.
But you didn't find any resonance in the lost romance?
I found absolutely nothing that hit me on any kind of a chord that pulled me into this film.
You couldn't relate to Gillis at all?
so what? You know, here's a guy that, you know, he lost his job after, you know, so what, he's a struggling writer?
Never lost a job?
So what? Yeah. That's my point. And this film was just so emotionally impactful that I just felt his pain.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you couldn't relate to this guy at all and the situation
Max,
he was in and why he would
have
done
what?
That?
So what? He lost a job. I've lost jobs. So now all of a sudden I have this love for this movie because the main character lost
a job. No, but you said you said everybody was just, he was blah. Why would he do this? Why would he do it? Well, first off, he was broke. Then they took his car. He's trying to survive, basically.
Well,
and he tries to get out. He tries to escape, and I think he developed developed feelings for her. But when she tried to commit suicide at the end, he was at that party and he called.
Yeah,
I mean, he ran out of there right back to the house.
You know, I kept thinking, okay,
losing the sugar mama.
I kept thinking to myself, this guy comes off as a guy who could not be bought. That's what his whole thing was. He's just independent. He ain't selling out to the studio. Yet she comes along, and I wanted to feel some actual genuine love interest there. I felt none of that.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, okay.
I felt it from her.
Yeah, but it just didn't work for me. And I kept thinking, well, I wish there was something else that's revealed here. Like maybe.
He never loved her.
Maybe he's like a broken guy who has some kind of a mother fetish. I just never felt anything there.
Then it
would have
just been weird.
I understand, like I said in the beginning, if you love this film, don't let me stop you. I get it. It just didn't impact me in any way at all. And I was really turned off by the acting in this film. But, hey, back to the craft work. I actually think I'd like, believe it or not, Double Indemnity more, and I didn't really care for that.
Man.
Talk about some more scenes. Talk about some more. Max, what else you got? What else comes to the surface when you talk back about Sunset Boulevard?
I like the pitch meeting at the beginning when he goes to the studio. Yeah. He's begging the guy he said, well, can you just please give me $300? And he's just going around asking everybody for money, and he's making phone calls.
I kind of like that, too.
I like the part where he goes out to the golf course,
with
his agent. Says, why aren't you trying to find me a job? Oh, good. Hungry's good. More time behind the typewriter. Screw you, man. Right. Come on, man. What are you doing here? I liked when he went back after she tried to commit suicide. I really felt bad for her. That's the one time in the movie where her character, I guess you could say, showed real emotion.
Yeah.
Real emotion.
Yeah, she wasn't overacting voguing
well,
for the camera like she thought she was the camera
right.
was there on her all the time. She was genuinely upset and crying in that scene. And that was the one time in the whole movie she did that. I mean, even at the end.
Yeah.
She was nuts.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Yeah. She's crazy. I love that end though.
Yeah.
I love that. I thought that was great. Awesome.
I think my high point was still William Holden, though.
Yeah.
No, all the scenes I did like are centered around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite scene was the New Year's party that she had.
It was just him and her? He just showed up?
Yeah. And, you know, she gets him the tux and the orchestra's there, the little quartet's there, and all the food. And you get this feeling, it's like, are they going to be alone?
Yeah.
And then it is alone, and then it just, the intensity of that is like the realization, like that just really hit me hard. It's like, wow. I mean, you really start to really see the level of her possessiveness and the type of insanity that she is kind of devolving into. And I think he starts to see it right then too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to just, you know, take advantage of a good situation, have a little sugar mama for a while, and then when something like that happens, it makes it real, and I think that's kind of grounded it for me. You know, as fanciful as that was, and as big a gesture as that was, it showed just the extreme of her craziness.
Yeah,
So I found that very resonating.
I like that part too.
One thing I liked about this film. Okay, let's talk about what I liked about this film because I think I do like some things. I like the narration. I liked his narration.
I can't stand narration in film.
I typically don't, but it had that gumshoe. 1950s quality to it that is sometimes appealing to me.
Like very William Holden-y?
Very, a little bit. Listen, it's kind of like guacamole. Give me a little on the side.
Right.
Don't slather my burrito with it, okay? But I did like it. I loved the first 20 minutes of that film. My favorite part was when he pulled up into the garage and you meet Max the butler, and that comes out.
Yeah.
Right, he comes out and like, what are you doing in the garage? I'm hiding my car. I'm like, all right, we got a place
who
to go
does
here.
That
exactly, William Holden does it.
Man. That's what I thought. It's like, why are you just gonna roll up in somebody's garage?
Well, he's trying to hide.
Well, man, with you have the fuzz on. You have the repo man coming after you. Right. You're gonna hide your car. What did you think of the car, by the way?
37 Plymouth. Convertible. Yeah. Nice.
Chase is on, baby.
Man, I like watching them old movies where they're driving those big tanks like that and they're screeching around a corner. Have you ever tried to drive one of those things?
No.
Man, I would wipe out. I've driven some of those cars before. It's hard.
Manual steering.
Not so much the manual steering. They're just so heavy and they sway so bad. Right.
Bench seats. Curb feelers. No, wait, that was the 70s, dude.
That was the 70s.
Yeah.
Think of a shaft.
Yeah, but before she entered the screen, I think I kind of liked this movie. What else? Oh, you know what else too stands out? I'm looking at the scenes here on my notes. What do you guys think of when she tries to bribe him with the clothes? She's like, "Oh, that shirt you're wearing is dreadful, and I don't like your jacket either.
I'm tired of your baggy pants.
I'm tired of your baggy pants. All the stuff I say to you when you come to the show.
Don't chew gum."
Yeah. And he stops him. He's that cheesy ass salesman with the John Waters mustache.
Sleazy guy. Yeah.
He says, "Oh, she's paying for it. Why don't you just buy both?" And they do that like extended close up with him going like this in the guy's face.
If the lady's paying, why not take the better one?
Right. The Vicuña.
Vicuña, whatever it was.
Adam, yes. Producer. I want to hear from
him. Yeah.
He got an 8 on this. Yeah. I want to hear something. Lay it down. Let us pick it up. What you got? Talk about a scene, something that stands out.
Best scene for me was when she actually makes it back to Paramount, and the guy comes running out, and he's all excited. He's like, "Oh, yeah, that's her. I love you. Yeah. I miss you, blah, blah, blah." And she goes into the Cecil
DeMille,
and everyone gets excited about seeing her again.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, is that she actually dreaming this, making it up as she goes along? But I really love that scene where he signs the spotlight on her. Everyone's comes running towards her and stuff. "Oh, it's Norman Desmond. Oh, this is so awesome." Yeah. So I thought that was really good. The other thing I liked and didn't like was the narration. It reminded me of American Beauty with the guy who died, and he's actually narrating his life at the end.
I don't know if I would reference American Beauty because
it's
the
same
of the
thing. He died.
I got what you're saying. He's speaking post-mortem. He's very post-mortem. Okay, I got you.
And best line of dialogue, I thought, was in the narration, was when he walks up to the house. He goes, "Oh, this is like Great Expectation," and that old lady who used to live there, what was her name? Miss Havisham. I thought that was great.
Right.
But I did not like the fast talking, you know, where no one breathes between talking to each other.
See, I didn't pick
it's just
up on
so
that.
Quick.
I didn't either.
It happened mainly at the beginning, but that just irks me about older movies.
That's one thing I don't like about them either, sir. I'll tell you right now.
I know. Why do you say
that? You're talking about Betty right now.
I know. How are you doing? How you doing? But that irks me. And other than that, I thought it was a wonderful film.
Other than that.
What about there's another female lead in this film.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this. That's the girl that played Betty.
Yeah.
She was very much, just what you expected. I just thought, okay, well, there she is. Yep, 1950s. Yep, there it is.
The alternate love interest. That one didn't resonate as much with me. I thought that was kind of forced because I never felt any genuine interest on his part. I didn't really feel any genuine interest on his part for either one of them, actually.
He gave her the shaft at the end. Remember, she came.
Oh yeah.
That's what I kind of liked when the two girls kind of, I wouldn't say cat fought.
Yeah.
But Desmond calls her and tries to play him against her at the end. A little bit of a love triangle.
Yeah.
I kind of liked that.
Even though she was engaged to his best friend.
Exactly. Yeah, she was kind of a. What's that all about? First of all, she's with this the cheesiest guy ever put on screen, Artie. It's like
he's a nice guy.
Do not talk about Jack Webb that way.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, but William Holden, come on. You know, at least he had some kind of a swagger to him. This guy, gee, Gillis, hey,
He's just enthusiastic.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's got a nice outlook on life, unlike some people.
He was an assistant director.
I'll tell you what, though, there's some walk-away shots of Betty. She looked pretty good in 1950, that actress.
Damn right she did.
Did y'all know she looks like Catherine Hahn?
Don't even know who the hell
that is.
Who
that is.
Catherine Hahn. Oh, come
don't
on.
Don't throw out obscure people. You're going to say, she played she played Geisha Girl in Meatball 3. Or I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do.
That looks like Jewel the singer.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Nicely done. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
He's producing over there.
He's probably sitting there looking at Catherine Hahn.
He probably is.
She's a gorgeous, funny lady.
Hey, you're talking about a scene where you say, nothing resonated in their relationship. There is a scene at the end where they have some extended screen time. Max, what did you think of? You were going to say you liked it because you liked everything about this film, but they're walking back through the set.
I did like that
scene. And she talks about, I was born and raised here, and I had a nose job cost me $300. And he's like, "And I would love to kiss your nose." And that was that was it.
No, I really like that scene. I just like the charmingness of it. It's, I was born here and my family were tech people, and just imagining the childhood of growing up in one of the big studio towns, you know, when it was still studio, where the big studios
studio were system.
Yeah, where they ran everything. They would create whole city streets that you could just lose yourself in as a child. I thought that was real charming.
Okay.
I didn't mind it. I don't know what was so terrible about it.
I didn't say it was terrible. I just was a little let down.
I like the fact that he actually restrained himself from trying to kiss her.
Made me
like,
want
no,
an apple.
I need to keep 2 feet away from you.
They were eating apples. They kind of made me a little hungry in that scene. Yeah. Juicy apples.
What's Max's deal?
Yeah.
I don't know, Max. What is his deal?
I don't know. I wonder, what was his...
attachment?
What was his motivation?
I got
love
for doing what he did.
Love.
Did he just feel bad for her?
No, love.
I think he thought of her as a child, or like he was a father figure to her.
I think
even though
love.
They got married and still divorced and
love.
Everything. I think
I thought he was,
well, if
thought of him as a father figure to
if
her.
If he loved her, he didn't like the fact that she's bringing in men that she's fallen in love with. That had to be a pretty bad situation for him.
No, that's how much he loves her, is that he was able to deal with that.
I think he kept her around like an artifact that one day I'm going to make my comeback, and I got the secret weapon upstairs in the room.
No. And he's
kept
just
her around.
As crazy as she
I
is.
I don't know. He came across as a little creepy to me. He was an enabler.
Maybe he wanted a threesome.
Yeah, for sure, that.
Okay, what's Max's end game? That's what I'm wanting to know.
Well, at the end,
that's what I mean.
At the end, he was pretty satisfied with the situation. He had her coming back down the stairs. He's back in the director chair.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of bliss going on. Maybe he kept her around waiting for that big comeback.
No, I don't see that. I think he just wanted to be around her. I think he just...
Maybe she paid him pretty well.
It couldn't have been that he just wanted to be around her. There's no way.
Different times, man. Different times.
It doesn't matter.
Sure,
people
does.
Don't change. Times change. People don't.
Mm.
Here I'm thinking in the back of my mind, he might have been just as crazy as her.
Well, it could be. And like you said, he definitely was an enabler.
I mean,
writing all the letters and, you know,
he wrote all those letters and
dealing with it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of creepy where he showed up in the garage when he comes sneaking back. He's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, man, why are you creeping around the garage?
You peeping on me, man.
Right.
He's lucky William Holden didn't come out and punch him across the face.
Like, I'll say about William Holden, he looks like he could whip your ass pretty good.
Have you ever seen The Wild Bunch? Come on.
Yeah, 1950s or 2015. He's going to take it to you. He got old man strength, too.
Old man strength.
There's strength. There's old man strength. He got old man strength. I also like there's one part of the film where I was like, oh, that's pretty low. And I kind of felt something on this scene.
What's that?
That was when she thinks that everybody's calling her for this apparently crappy script.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, no, they just want to use your car.
They want to rent her car.
Oh,
and she says, say what? And they told her, she was like, say what? That's what exactly how she delivered the line to. Say what? I kind of liked it. And, he laid that on her hard.
Yeah.
No wonder she shot him in the back.
Yeah. With a revolver that wasn't a revolver.
But I also like the fact that DeMille was very apprehensive about telling. And, man, he's like, who the hell's calling this old fossil?
Yeah.
Why are you calling her? And they're thinking, well, maybe someone does like this script. He's like, look, man, I just wanted to borrow her car for a movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all that.
I like the parts with DeMille. I thought he did great.
I did, too.
Yeah,
he was
a pretty decent actor.
Yeah.
Most directors are. I like his approach to her. He didn't.
Yeah.
He treated her kid gloves, I guess you could say. He didn't want to hurt her feelings.
But with the respect she deserves, too. I mean, she earned her chops, man. I mean, she was a
star.
Well,
I mean, that scene when she comes into the studio and she's like, oh, you see this? I practically built this studio.
Yeah.
That's not a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, Gloria Swanson in the silent era was like the top billing star for like 6 years for Paramount. So she literally did build that place. Bet you didn't know that.
I don't want to know that.
Well, and that was another subversive thing is like that Billy Wilder did. He was really pointing out kind of the underbelly of the system.
Mm-hmm.
More so than it had been done. Not like anybody would do today. It seems very tame by today's standards. But back then, where you were pointing out, you were using real people's names, you know, the Mayer brothers and the MGM and all those people.
Zanuck and
absolutely.
Alan Ladd and
all
those
them,
guys.
You were. It was almost like I got a whiff of like, it's like an earlier version of The Player, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're in that world and you're making a movie about the world that you're in, that you're making the movie of.
Player, best movie about Hollywood ever made.
A lot of people would say this.
I've heard that said.
So that's a 10 as
and
well.
And I always say, no, it's The Player. Player's a 10 for me. Yeah, I love that movie.
I think movies like this, I'm glad they exist. I'm glad they're out there. They're relics. They're nice to visit. Let's move along. Let's just
like
move along.
It's like that big tank of a car. Yeah, you might want to rent it for a while.
Yeah, let's just move along. There's a reason why people don't talk like this in films. Because we've grown up now. I think we've grown up now. Go see a play. You want to see like they go to TPAC if you want to hear people talk like this. You give me film, you give me grit and real. That's what I say.
I totally disagree. You're wrong.
Fanciful escapism is fine too. Mm-hmm. I don't need grit and real all the time.
Not always.
I need comedy. I like good comedy. I like playful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, we're talking about Sunset Boulevard, 1950. Sorry, Max, can't go there with you, but I get it.
Fine.
Good film, great film, timeless film.
Right.
Done with that one. Let's go on. Let's talk about our top three that was inspired by Sunset Boulevard.
Maybe
we're talking
one more clip.
Well, we're going to get there.
Okay.
Let me introduce it properly.
All right, my bad, man.
Yeah. You're talking a little too fast there, Savvy.
Right,
see?
Sorry.
We can't get to the clip right now.
Right.
They didn't talk like that in this movie.
No, that's
knock it off.
Stuff.
We're talking about 1950s Sunset Boulevard, inspiring top three butlers
In
film. And we're going to listen to one more piece of the film here, and we're going to come back and tell you what our top three is. Here you go.
I can't go on with the scene. I'm too happy. Mr. DeMille, do you mind if I say a few words? Thank you. I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio, making a picture again. You don't know how much I've missed all of you. And I promise you I'll never desert you again. Because after Salome, we'll make another picture and another picture. You see, this is my life. It always will be. There's nothing else. Just us and the cameras and those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Back again, Q Filmcast, and that was a piece of Sunset Boulevard.
And it was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I actually went and watched it during that break.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back and tell you it's awesome.
Shut up.
You could almost talk me into a seven.
Then go to a seven.
I'll go to seven on this.
All right. Hey,
I'll tell you why I'm going to go to seven on this. Because
you love me.
A little bit, but it's a good time stamp. It's just a time stamp, but it's still a decent time stamp.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to the top three. The top three that it inspired, Savage.
Yeah.
Max, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, producer? You ready?
Why not? Let's
talking about top three butlers and servants. Why don't you get up and go press my pants and get me a beer, by the way, please? I think someone's at the door. Why are you sitting there?
Right.
Is my car warmed up? Never mind.
Let's punch you in the groin.
I will kill your monkey.
Right.
All right. Top three butlers in movies, Max. Sunset Boulevard inspired butlers.
God,
what you got?
So many I want to keep on the list. I got to narrow down to three. Oh, I don't know where I want him. I'm going to go with number three. I'm going to go with Kato from the Pink Panther movies.
Good answer.
All right.
That's a great answer.
Because he was awesome.
Well, he went the extra mile.
Yeah, he would like fight with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Kato! That was great. And they, what was it? Pink Panther Strikes Again, I think. They had a huge fight, and then the phone rings, and they just stop.
Yeah.
And give them the phone.
Trying to keep them raw, trying to toughen them up.
Right.
Why didn't I think of that? This is a great answer.
Love Kato.
You like Kato, producer?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not Kato. It's Kato.
Kato. You had to think about it a minute, didn't you? Shot in the dark.
I started thinking about the Green Hornet.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
No. You think Green Shot in the Dark is better than... what's the one where the light bulb kept popping out of the lamp?
Shot in the Dark was funny because he kept getting arrested.
Yeah. You know,
that was pretty funny.
I liked all of them. Well, not all of them.
Yeah, Kato.
I said that.
Producer was thinking of Kato Kaelin from the OJ trial.
Yeah, right.
Let's get into butlers.
Love that hair.
Let's talk about your top three butlers, Adam. What's your number three?
Agador Spartacus from The Birdcage. Hank
nice.
Azaria. I thought he was funny, and I loved him walking around in those stupid shoes. I always laugh each time I see that scene.
You know, that's on my list somewhere. I'm narrowing my list down as we speak.
Yeah, so
I'll take,
am I.
Since you said it.
Clicking them off.
Since producer said it, I'm taking it off my list.
Right.
Oh, you're doing the same thing, Savage.
Right, right.
And he should be on the list just because he's Hank Azaria.
Yes.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah, he's a good bit player, like in Along Came Polly.
He's great. He's like the William Fichtner of William Fichtners.
It's the William Fichtner of Fichtners.
Except
Savage.
For Godzilla.
Savage. Let's get into yours here. Number three, inspired by Sunset Boulevard, butlers. What you got?
I think I'm just going to go with my favorite butlers. Number three, let's go with Lurch, Adam's Family.
That is fantastic. That is a fantastic answer.
Lurch.
Yeah, he's Lurch. He's
Ted Cassidy in the TV show.
Yeah, but it was movies too. So
yeah.
That's a good answer.
It is a good
answer. You didn't even think of that?
He could have been a robot for all we know. He just said one thing. You rang. You rang.
He said,
You know, that's a good butler because he would scare away kids and Jehovah's Witnesses
right.
when they came to the door.
That's a great butler. He's doing his job. He could just do that.
You know, if they remade that, well, actually, they did. This. I was going to say, if they remade this movie, they could use Dolph Lundgren. They should have used Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, right.
He would make a good Lurch.
I don't know who he was in the movies. All I remember is Ted Cassidy from the
TV
show.
He looked like Ted Cassidy, though, the guy in the
movie. He was no Ted Cassidy, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's Lurch. I mean.
Yeah. It was Carl Strucklin.
Okay. Yeah, that guy.
He's Ted Cassidy.
I have a theme with my butlers. Well, my theme is that butlers that made me laugh.
Okay.
Butlers and comedies.
Okay.
My number three. I'm going to go with Chester from Seems Like Old Times.
Okay.
You ever seen
it? I barely remember that.
That's
I
a funny movie.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Goldie Hawn.
And Chevy Chase.
And Charles Grodin and Chevy Chase. And she kept getting ex-convicts to work for her. And she kept getting ex-convicts as butlers. And Chester, he was always drunk, drove the car, ran over everything.
All right. And, I don't know if I've seen that.
Chester, he was the same guy that played in The Thing.
Who did he play?
The black guy.
Oh, Knowles?
Knowles, that's who I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember him now. I remember that now. I hadn't seen that movie in 20-something years, I bet.
The only reason I thought of that was the other day I was flipping around, was on TV. And I thought, that's a great butler, a drunk one that's just happy all the time.
Right.
Max, what's your number two? We're talking about butlers from whenever. What you got?
I'm going to have to go with Emilio Lopez from that terrible Mr. Deeds movie. John Turturro.
Oh, yeah.
Sneaky.
I've never seen it.
That movie stunk awful.
He was the best part of it.
I would have watched a whole movie about him. That's what I wanted to see.
The Adam Sandler film.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen
it. That's not a good
sneaky
one.
Sneaky. Yeah.
I heard it was bad.
It was not good.
It's an Adam Sandler movie. Come on.
We had Winona
with
Ryder.
Adam Sandler makes some okay films.
Had Winona Ryder.
But he killed in that part. He was literally the best part of the movie.
John Turturro as a butler.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like
he
it already.
He was so sneaky.
If you just told me there's a movie out there where John Turturro was a butler, I'd say, okay, let's go.
I'm there.
All right, there's one out there, Mr. Deeds.
Good answer. Right. Now you've inspired me to possibly watch it. Adam, number
just,
two.
Just go to YouTube and look for the Mr. Butler Deeds butler montage. I'm sure there's one out there. Somebody just cut the rest of the
movie all
out.
I need.
That's
it.
Adam, I need your number two. What is it? What's your number two butler in movies?
I got to go with Igor from Young Frankenstein.
Is it Igor?
It's Igor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's legit. I guess he answers the door.
He answers the door, gets the bags.
Okay, yeah.
Walk this way, gets whatever he needs.
I got you.
A little brain, abnormal.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
It's a great answer.
It's a fantastic answer.
Yeah.
Think of Igor.
Igor's fantastic.
I did.
Well, you could have said Renfield, too.
He's a servant.
Yeah, easy with all
the butler?
Easy with throwing out butler.
Oh,
my bad.
You see, Savage, that's the gray area. Butler can bleed into chauffeur. It can bleed into manservant.
Those are technically valets.
It can bleed into pool boy.
Yeah.
So,
Pool boy is not a butler.
How about this? Even though they do those other things, okay. He still has to drive the car.
All right.
How's that? Or, I mean, open the door.
Yeah.
That's
open the door
say.
Is the criteria.
He has to be the guy that opens the door.
He has to answer the phone and the door. Right. That makes him a butler.
That's right.
Right.
Savage. Roll with it.
Okay.
Number two, just butlers in film.
Butlers that I like. I like Tim Curry, Wadsworth, and Clue.
Nicely done.
Yeah. I mean, he's an iconic butler.
He buttles.
That's
what he said. That's where that came from.
He's a perfect butler. Tim Curry is just perfect in everything he does, so I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he would be a great butler in real life, I think. Kind of bug-eyed, very proper but snarky.
Right.
My number two, and I'm keeping with butlers and comedies. Butlers I remember that made me laugh during the film, and I'm talking about Barkley from Toy, The Toy.
Yep.
Oh, that was such a bad movie.
The Toy wasn't a bad movie.
It was a terrible movie.
No,
are you
Richard
kidding
Pryor?
Me?
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Richard Pryor never made a bad movie. I forgot.
Yeah, but even though it's bad, it's still amusing. If you haven't seen it in a while, it's amusing.
Yeah, it's tender.
And he's a toy. The kid buys him as a toy.
I don't
man.
Think you could make that movie now unless you did it like a race reversal or something. You know?
Come on. It had Jackie Gleason in it, man. U.S.
Yeah. U.S.
It's U.S. Oh, U.S. It's kind of like Cunnilingus.
Yeah, I like Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
I like Richard Pryor.
Right. Oh, come on, producer. It was on Saturday Night Live. I can say that.
Okay.
That's primetime TV.
You didn't
buddy.
Like The Piranhas?
Oh, I hated that.
The Piranhas was terrible.
The only reason we watched that movie is because it was such a big deal. They're filming this in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, oh, look, that's where... Look, they're filming the tour right there. Oh, look,
yeah,
there's
Richard
Pryor.
But the scene where Wonder Wheel dies is a great scene.
Oh, man, I like the tour.
Don't die on me, Wonder Wheel.
I like the tour.
Don't watch it again.
Okay.
No, go ahead. It's funny. I'm going with Barkley because he was just an old, drunk, happy butler.
There you go. There you go.
Speaking of old, drunk, and happy, let's go over to the producer.
No, it's Max, right?
Oh,
Max.
Damn.
Number one.
Yeah, speaking of drunk and ugly.
Number ones.
Oh, well, then we are going to you.
Wait a second. We're up to number ones? Oh, yeah. I'm drunk. I'm ugly. What's your number one, Max?
Hobson. Arthur. Sorry. Somebody had to say it.
Right.
I'm going to double down because we're short on time anyway. Right. It is Hobson. It is John Gielgud. Would you like me to come in there and wash your for you too?
Yeah. I like when he smacked him across the face with his gloves at the racing track. Yeah. Helmet, gloves.
Please. Please remove your goggles too, please.
Yeah, Hobson was the best. And then he died.
But he was like a life coach, Max. That's the thing.
That was what was so great about him.
Yeah.
Hobson. Poor old Hobson.
Fantastic. That's my number one.
All right, cool.
See, look, even though we didn't meet during the film,
right,
we met up at the top three. I like that.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
What's your number one producer? It has to be Hobson or you're stupid.
The best butler in the world, Alfred Pennyworth.
Well,
of course.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It has to be.
I think I got one better.
What? I purposely didn't
say
Alfred.
You don't
know
who
he is, somebody
was
going to say
it. It was Batman.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an iconic butler.
But here's the question. There have been several different
Alfreds.
Have there been?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Because even before the Dark Knight trilogy.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, but all those crappy other Batman movies was the same Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
There were two good ones.
All right, so what's your favorite Alfred? Which Alfred are you going with?
I'm going with Michael Caine.
My name is
Michael Caine.
Easy answer.
Well, he cared. He cared about his client. That's the thing that made him.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he cared.
So did Hobson.
Father figure.
I left Alfred off. I was like, okay, that's just too obvious.
Yeah. Well, I got an obvious one, too.
I guess Hobson's not.
What's your number one, Savage?
Riff Raff, Rocky Horror Picture
Show.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've never seen it, have you?
Oh, yeah, I've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, Tim Curry and Susan Sarandon and the whole thing. Yeah. Didn't really like it that much.
Yeah, I'm with you right.
But of course,
I'm with you there.
I went to a house party where they were showing it. And it was like, I just, whatever. Maybe you have to go to the theater to see it. I don't know.
No, it doesn't get any better than the theater.
But Riff Raff is, you know, he's an integral part of that film. So he's not only the butler, he's an important part of the film. So,
all right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up, isn't it? Number ones.
Ones, twos, that was number ones.
Got through it. There's our top three butlers in films.
There you go.
Okay, so there you go. There's your show for today. Talking about Sunset Boulevard 1950.
Yeah.
Inspired top three butlers in movies. I like the butler conversation.
Yeah.
You got a 33.
Yeah.
33 close-ups.
Yeah.
And it had William Holden in it. William Holden.
William Holden.
It had William Holden in it, and it had Gloria Swanson in it.
Nuts.
Yep. Yeah, let's move on to the next one, guys.
Right,
we're talking about tens.
Yeah.
Is it, what's it, James Hartsup?
No, it's Adam's pick.
Oh. That's right. Producer, I'm sorry. Why? I had it in my head. It was your turn, but it's not. Around the table we go.
Oh,
well,
Jesus.
Speaking of turning heads.
Oh, Jesus. This can't be good.
I am picking the classic, the greatest of all time, The Exorcist.
Oh.
Deserves a conversation.
Oh.
It's impossible.
At the very least.
It's impossible to not have a conversation about this film.
Yeah.
You know,
I compel you to think of a conversation.
Look at him. He come prepared.
Yeah. And, you know, the crucifix does not go there, Adam, just to let you know. Okay. Put that down, please.
Lick me.
Yeah. Well, you know, cue up the pea green soup, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Exorcist. All right. Well, you know, it's on Netflix. If you haven't seen this film and you say, hey, what's a compelling film on Netflix? There's one for you. So let's talk about it. Is this your 10? You're telling me right now.
This is my 10, hands
down. No way it's going to change. No way you watch it again and you go down to 6 or 5 or 8.
I will come over there. No.
Okay. That's next week, man. It's going to be a blistering affair. We're talking about The Exorcist 1973,
wow.
I do believe.
It, blistering.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
I like that. Pick up on that, yeah. You're so clever.
You like that? Yeah. That's next week. Can't wait for it. The Exorcist. Ooh. Yeah, it's a real head turner for sure. And in 1973, it blew people's minds.
Yeah, it was 73, right? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, let's see if it holds up. Let's see what it does for us this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so see you next week. Exorcist 1973. This was Sunset Boulevard Top 3 Butlers. And we'll see you next time. Until then, however it is you say, good night. Future in the sky. That sucked.